Folks, we're a little less than $67,000 short of making budget this year. Please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. No gift is too small, and for any sized year-end donation, we'll send you a CD of one of my Christmas and Baptism of Jesus sermons. You can make a secure online contribution at issuesetc.org. You can also make a year-end tax-deductible gift by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for listening, and thanks for helping us make budget in the next 5 weeks. I think that a happy marriage should be the major life goal of just about everybody. So why does that goal elude so many modern women, so many feminist women? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. Live this Friday afternoon, December the 2nd. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Suzanne Venker joins us to talk about marriage and the modern woman. After that, Pastor Heath Curtis will be our guest. We'll talk about John of Damascus from the 8th century. Then we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Suzanne Venker is a regular guest, a married mother of two in St. Louis, author of the books The Flip Side of Feminism and a forthcoming book, How to Choose a Husband. She's also written a recent column for National Review Online titled Why Marriage Eludes the Modern Woman. Suzanne, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hi, Todd.
You say that never before in history have modern American women had a better shot at marital bliss. What do you mean?
I mean that women have such freedom, such flexibility in a way that we never have before. And we have men, of course, who, because of technology, have really sort of stepped up to the plate at home and are doing much more than they did in the past because they've, well, that's a whole other conversation. You know, there's a lot of reasons for that. But at any rate, they have the help that they need at home, and they have the flexibility also with technology to sort of create a marriage that allows both partners to sort of do a little bit of their own thing and also work together at home. And I think that with that freedom comes, you know, tremendous options for women in terms of having a happy marriage, because you're not sort of bogged down by, you know, strict roles that we had in the past. And just because of the way men and women communicate today, the option is there. It's just that, unfortunately, I don't believe that it's happening, that women are taking advantage of it.
So what is holding modern women back from marriage? You say there are two factors at work here. What's holding them back?
Well, there are several things. One is, of course, well, the biggest thing is feminism, and that's what I wrote about in that article to which you're referring. But there are several things. We're dealing with an issue, for example, with patience, that is a total requirement for marriage. And today, of course, people have been raised with immediate gratification because of technology, and they're used to sort of having things right at their fingertips when they want it. And the whole concept of delayed gratification is foreign to them. So certainly we all know, those of us who have been married for some time know that marriage is certainly not going to bring you what you want, when you want, every moment. You're trying to formulate a life with someone else, and your needs are not always going to come first. And I think that's very difficult for a generation who has been used to getting what they want. Women have also been taught that the world really revolves around them. I mean, everything you see is really geared toward women. You know, women's studies, women's issues, women's problems, women's, I mean, even the magazine section in the bookstore is about, the women's section is about 10 times larger than the men. So just everywhere you go, it's all women, women, women. Well, of course, that's not a very good basis for entering marriage, because, of course, there's another person there, and he's a man, and what do we know about them, and when do we ever focus on them and their needs? So I think that certainly is something that holds them back in a big way, because they don't realize that what you think it's going to be is not really how it is going to be.
A lot has been made about the failure of men to leave adolescence behind into their adult years. But is the same true in some sense of modern women?
Being held back?
Well, failure to grow up, so to speak.
Well, I think that there's a direct link between men's inability to grow up and the world that we've created for men and women in marriage. And that is to say that because we are encouraging women to postpone marriage and motherhood and to focus on themselves and their careers and get married later in life and not worry about their biological clock and all of that, of course, that changes everything, because the longer you postpone marriage, the more premarital sex and checking up you have going on, number one. And number two, it's not any incentive for men to want to get married, because in the past, of course, the incentive, I should say, for men to settle down was the taking care of a family role. And because women have flat out told them they are not needed for that anymore, it sort of causes them to develop sort of inertia, I guess, where if they're not needed and they're dispensable, then what's the point? So the ability, the incentive there for them to grow up and become family men has certainly waned, and that's one of the biggest problems that we have with what we call immature men today.
You quote, and I can't tell whether you're quoting favorably or not, you quote, I believe, a cousin of yours, saying there are two ingredients to a healthy marriage, good food and good sex. What do you take away from that?
Well, of course, that was supposed to be a little tongue-in-cheek, not that it's not correct, but of course there is more to marriage than that. But it is to say that those two factors are, a bona fide prerequisite of any long-standing marriage. I mean, when you think about food and sex, those are the two things that we really engage and do the most of, or should do, or are naturally wanting to do, hopefully, all the time, weekly. You know, it's not something you can avoid. Well, because we have women today who are essentially afraid of the kitchen at this point, or really don't even know what they're doing in the kitchen, those family meals and those aromas that emanate from the kitchen the way they did when you and I were young just don't exist. You've got empty homes where that cooking isn't going on, and those are the kinds of things that make a home a home, and they're not anything to be afraid of or consider negative, but they're good things. So wanting to cook for your husband and cook for your family is something that should be celebrated, not eschewed, and that's one thing we've done. And then, of course, the sex thing is really concerning, because I cannot tell you how many women or people that I've heard from or read about who are now openly talking about how they're not having sex with their husbands, and that this is perfectly, well, this is just the way it is, and you know, our lives are too busy, or he's just going to have to get over it. And it seems to be, I mean, I'm not going to use the word epidemic, but whenever something's become sort of openly talked about, that it's hit sort of a point there, because this is certainly not the way that it used to be. People understood that sex was just something that you really technically have to do by law. You know, people could actually get divorced in the past over their spouses not having sex with them. So today it's sort of considered, well, if I feel like it, I guess I will, but he needs to understand because I'm too tired. And then there's just no realization that that men do have a stronger sex drive than women. That's another thing that people sort of get their back up about sometimes, because they've been taught, women especially, that men and women have equal sex drives, which just isn't true. Not to mention the fact that sex, of course, is a wonderful stress reliever, so the women lose out as well.
So, finally, you say that marriage has been turned into a competitive sport that it was never intended to be. What do you mean when you characterize marriage that way nowadays?
So I think the thing that we're dealing with in the 21st century is this notion that marriage has really become more of this idea that two people are sort of sharing space and being roommates more than husband and wife. Now, of course, I'm sure you all talk about this a lot, but just from a spiritual perspective alone, marriage, which is what marriage is, it was never meant to be that way. It's a very, the two roles are supposed to be, the male and the female role are supposed to be, or designed to be complementary, that you each bring something unique to the table as a man and as a woman, that together produces a strong bond, or should. But because those roles, gender roles and rules and expectations of marriage have changed so dramatically, and women don't know, and men especially don't know what their role is supposed to be anymore because of feminism, we've created these homes where, or these marriages where they're really just sort of living together like brother and sister, you know, or just friends. Friends is a big thing, and marrying your best friend, and this whole notion that you're just really sharing space, if you will, and going about your own life, which is very opposite of what marriage was intended. And I think, and again, that goes into the decline of religion over the last several decades in America, which is probably a bigger conversation than we have time for today, but they definitely go hand in hand.
How would you respond to someone who says, look, you're just putting all the blame on the woman and making out the man as a mere victim in all of this?
Okay, so here's what I say to that. I completely understand that that's a knee-jerk reaction to it, but here's my thought on that. Men typically will follow women's lead. Typically, that's just generally how human nature is. They, you know, women are far more outspoken and opinionated and sort of complex, if you will. And women are, men are a little bit more simple. Their needs are not as great as women's. They don't complain as much, so on and so forth. They'll sort of just follow the lead of where their wives are going to take them. And that means, ultimately, if you accept that, and of course if you don't accept that, you're not going to like what I'm saying, but if you do understand that and accept that, it's really women that are going to be able to dictate where society is going when it comes to marriage and human relationships. And that, because of that, I put the onus on women, because it is women, via feminism, who have changed all the rules and expectations and got us to this point. And so I consider it their duty, really, to sort of undo that. I just don't think that men, and I'll give you an example, I hear from men all the time who sort of privately thank me, if you will, via an email about various articles and books or what have you, because they openly say, I can't say this. If I do, I'm a chauvinist. So men are being completely silenced, and they really just don't have a voice as to what's happened in the last several decades with gender roles and marriage. So it really is going to have to be women who sort of pull that cart.
Suzanne Venker is a married mother of two children in St. Louis. She's author of the books The Flip Side of Feminism, What Conservative Women Know and Men Can't Say, and a forthcoming publication, How to Choose a Husband. She's also written a recent column for National Review Online titled Why Marriage Eludes the Modern Woman. We'll have a link to that column at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Suzanne, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
And a conversation on John of Damascus next.
Think big screens belong in the movie theater, not at church? Think garage bands should stay in the garage, not be jamming in front of the altar? Hey, we do too. Come join us at St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, Illinois, for services that are reverent and relevant, vibrant and traditional. Divine service on Saturday at 6 p.m., on Sunday morning at 7:45 and 10, with Sunday school and Bible class in between at 9. Join us. Not a big screen or garage band in sight. Promise.
Unto You, a Christmas sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
The angel can tell those shepherds and tell us, this child has been born unto you. This child has been born for you.
And we'll send you a CD of this sermon for any size gift before the end of the year. Make a secure online donation today, issuesetc.org. Thanks for thinking of us at the end of 2011.
Treadmill for the mind. You're listening to Issues, etc.
Steadfast Lutherans. People who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
How is it that many of the champions of the Great Commission actually deny what the Great Commission says? I've written part two of the Not So Great Commission for the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just send an email to journal@issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Ellie Caro writes about the uncertainty of personal moral improvement and the certainty of the external promises of God. The online Issues Etc. journal, journal@issuesetc.org.